There are times and seasons in history and in different people in different generations and in different dispensations that have lived and have asked some of the questions that we ask in our heart that our neighbor might not know we are asking. Like the generations before Joseph. In the world as of then, there were these great empires. Egypt was one of the top ones. And they must be wondering that the God of Egypt or the gods of the nations were truly the God who rules. And I know, because we live in, Solomon says, nothing is new under the sun. We live in times where we ask that question. And people in that time probably were asking, where is God? Because the pharaohs have established themselves as gods, and their culture and their philosophy dominated the world. And during one of the seasons of the Pharaoh that we all read about, there were people who represented God who were, they saw the prosperity of Egypt or Assyria then, and so many of these nations. And their power. So these questions were asked, and then the time came when Joseph was born. And when Joseph was born, God introduced himself on the stage of the world. And this great empire submitted to Joseph and to the things of God. And that was the first time the world knew through the situation that really there is God. So what happened between all those years before Joseph came on the scene? Well, what would have been in the minds of people? What were they living for? What were they existing for? What were they working for? But there was a little shift, and a man came from prison and came right on the hem of government, and Pharaoh gave room and said, rule us. His name was Joseph. It was very obvious to everybody that Joseph represented God's authority. So what was the question people were asking before Joseph came? There was another time after Joseph the reality of God was lost along the way, and Egypt grew back again and became very strong. And at this time, the children of God has grown very much. And they were now growing in numbers and becoming a great people. And the world system came up with a strategy through the pharaohs and put the children of God back again in a lifestyle that they lived for 400 years, probably asking themselves, where is God? And as of then, the culture, the philosophy, the gods of the Egyptians were being promoted. That's all people lived for. That's all people worshipped. That's all people understood. And pyramid was all they built for Egypt. And Egypt was a wonder of the world as an empire. I believe the children of Israel keep asking themselves, they've read, they look back, and they saw how Abraham, they saw Isaac, they saw Jacob, they saw the track record of their fathers, and they saw how Joseph came on the world stage and revealed that this God of Abraham is the real God. But what's happening to us? So what were they thinking before Moses came? And what was happening to Moses for the 40 years he was away? And then the 40 years before he went away, he was in Egypt, overwhelmed by the situation of the godlessness ruling the godly heritage and the wickedness. But he could do nothing. But somehow he went away, and the whole time he was away, we wonder what God was doing. He appears like nothing was happening. But what was the question people were asking themselves? What were they living for as God's people? Then suddenly, Moses came. It's very possible that some of them before Moses came were like, they've been praying, they've been believing God for things and crying out for deliverance. Actually, God said they were, because he says, the people were groaning at this point, meaning they can't even pray anymore, but the pain and the groaning of their situation was overwhelming. And there was no deliverance. So when Moses came, they saw again, history recorded, and we have it written for us, that one man that God had full control over, one man that was led by the Spirit, was able to come on the world stage, the greatest nation in the world, and turn that nation upside down and revealed God to that generation. Like the prayer we just had, none of them came out when Moses was true, weak or feeble or sick or poor. Overnight, their deliverance came, their expectations were met, and everybody knew there is a God who rules over nations and who sets the times and seasons for the things he does in the earth. So there are questions people ask, especially when it's not clear who is really in charge of the world or in charge of nations. And you can go through history. There came a time the Babylonians had the same. And the Babylonians, theirs was extreme empire, extreme rulership under Nebuchadnezzar. It was so powerful that they came to the zenith, the climax of human domination, that literally Babylon was the first that came to a place and said, every nation must be forced to worship the God of Babylon. And they created a statue, and they made a music, and everybody was imposed upon them. If you don't, anywhere you are, don't worship that God, the image of gold, you'll be killed. That was the first time an empire was bold enough to do that. That's what the Antichrist will do. Fast forward. So, when something like that, you live in a generation like that, where the governments are so powerful, the rulers are so powerful, their laws and operations are so powerful, and they begin to force you to worship the God of the universe, the God that they have established to be a God then, and they said this is the way that character of that God is, and everybody worships. What will those that were already Israelites, living in Babylon, living anywhere in the world, what kind of question will they be asking? How are they serving God in moments like that? Or who are they really giving their allegiance to? So it continued, but there came a time people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was able to show before the whole world that the God of Nebuchadnezzar was not the true God. Even made Nebuchadnezzar himself make a proclamation that the God of God of Daniel and those three Hebrew children is the true God. What happened that will force the greatest power in the earth and the God they worship? What will cause such a shift? So before they came, what was the question people were asking? Israelites were asking themselves, what kind of prayer were they praying? What kind of God were they serving in Babylon? And you can go on and on. On individual basis also, pertaining to the Israel, the children of Israel, there was a time a woman called Jezebel manipulated, it's a spirit, manipulated the throne rooms of Israelites. And at a point, she became so powerful that the king Ahab was really serving Jezebel from that throne. And the children of God were under such religious blackmail or deception that Jezebel has filled the city with prophets and priests and people, and the nation has not accepted the gods and the ways of Jezebel and Ahab as the true God. These are God's people. What kind of prayer was going on, and what kind of expectation the people had then? Until Elijah came, and God told him to prophesy there will be no rain, and there was no rain. And then God told him, before there will be rain again, something has to happen. There has to be a purging, there has to be a clarity. The hearts of the people have to be turned back to God. But how can the people's heart fully be turned back to God when they are so used to a confusion in their time? So an altar has to be raised up. And Elijah called for the prophets of Jezebel or Baal, Satan worshippers in the church. He raised up an altar. He says, okay, you, let's prove before Israel who the true God is. Do you know when it gets to that point, you could imagine how confused the God the people were worshiping and the prayers. So God, Elijah laid that altar, and all these prophets, there were over 800, 400 of the group and 480 of Jezebel. And I don't want to go into the details there. But these are priests and prophets that were serving that time, well known and respected, but Israel thought they were the prophets and the servants of God. But they were in allegiance to Jezebel. Whatever Jezebel wants is what they prophesy, is what they do. They ate at the table of Jezebel. That's what that means. So when they came, they built an altar. They are magicians, they use power. But I want you to listen to this, the process that the Lord is leading us. It wasn't that When Moses came, there were no gods. It wasn't that when Joseph came, there were no gods. It wasn't that when Daniel came, there were no gods. These were the gods of the nation. Satan was ruling the world and was sitting on these powers. So the God that was ruling over Egypt and ruling over Israel, covered Israel with darkness that caused people to groan. Where is God? Is this all that God is? There was a contest. And it was Elijah. Who have heard about Elijah? Who knows Elijah? He came. And he said, the God that answered by fire would be the true God. And you all know this story. And we sing this song. And it was then the children of Israel, they experienced for the first time in their life, fire came from heaven and devoured the altar after efforts by these other gods and their servants to fail. They failed. You see, whenever the true light shines, darkness cannot stand. Whenever the true power shows up, every other power must bow. So that was what Elijah did. And the Bible says the people with one voice cried out, the God of Elijah is the true God. And the hearts of the people were shifted again towards the true God. Before Jesus came, Israel has become so religious. They've taken what God gave to Moses as an instruction and they've become so legalistic with it and created their own religion that there was not even the manifestation of Christ in their midst. They can't even recognize it. Their religion has become their God. Their laws have become their God. And they become blinded. Before Jesus came, John the Baptist had to come to call a nation to repentance and to prepare the way. And before Jesus came, Israel was in darkness. And the Bible says he came and great light has come to the people in darkness, God's people in darkness. Was there no church? Was there no synagogue? Were they not keeping all the rituals? But he said he came to the people in darkness that live in the shadow of death. So Jesus came and we saw, we can read everything, all that happened about the space of 3.5 years. And he was taken away. He was rejected by legalistic people. And then he said something before he left to those he appeared to after he rose from the dead. And he said to them, go and wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1. He also told them that in Luke at the end. He says, go and wait for the promise of the Father. And as he said, go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Amen? Go and wait for the promise. Go and wait for the promise. Go and wait for the promise. That is what I want to share with you this morning. I want to read scriptures that will help us understand. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I'll read from verse 13. We want to look at what the Lord was saying to how the hearts of people react, how they think when it looks like, where is God? Malachi chapter 3, I will read from verse 13. It says, your words have been stored against me, meaning hush, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? This is God speaking to Malachi, verse 14. You have said, he's saying to Israel, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we keep his ordinance and that we walk mournfully before you, before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that walk wickedness are set up. Yes, they that tempt God are even delivered. They are doing great. Living anyhow, and they are doing great. Now, before we continue reading, I want you to understand where we started from. I took you through nations, I took you through before God came, and we looked at Israel before God came. Before that time, there was God. God has always been. But something has happened that God has to now raise up a generation, and then God has to also stand by his own timing of things. Amen? Amen. Between the timing of God and between God raising up a generation to release what he wants to do, this is exactly how people react. This was what Israel was doing. And nothing is new under the sun. God says, this is how people respond. So, verse 16 says, here is a different response. We read the first response of people when they have not seen miracles, when they have not seen expectations, when it looks like a darkness is making themselves proud, when we've not really seen it, God really manifesting as we should, even though he's there and the church is there. Verse 16 says there is a different group, and it says this group, they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard them and hearkened unto them. And this is what God does, and what he did, and what he's still doing. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I will make up my jaws, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that serves him. Then shall you return when that time comes, and you discern between the righteous and the wicked. The people he's calling wicked now are not sinners in the world. He's talking about his own people within the body of Christ. Between him that serves God and him that serves him not. So, two categories of people. Through the timelines and generations and dispensations I share with you, is always going to be in the church. It's those who don't have the fear of God. What is the fear of God? It means that God is faithful. God is God. He's just. God knows everything. And if God is not doing something, if we don't understand it, doesn't mean God doesn't know what he's doing. God created his world. He knows the power of sin. He knows the power of rebellion. He knows during those times people have not come. He knows what is going on. He knows the wickedness of man. He knows everything. And he chose you to live in that time, in that generation. He didn't make a mistake. So if you go by what's happening, how things look, and you judge God's character by how things look, God is saying you will begin to judge him, his character, his ways, by how you feel about things, how you see things. And you begin to pray that way, and you begin to see God that way. It won't be long, you begin to depart from him. You will judge the church. You will judge the people in the church. You will judge this. You will criticize this. You will criticize that. You will say, why do they do this? Everything God says to do in the church, you will stop doing it. You will criticize it. You will develop your own mindset. You develop your own ways. You will choose what is good for you. And you stop serving or coming to church or having anything to do with the things God has ordained. They'll start using harsh words. How do you use harsh words? The loudest statement you can ever make is your action. What you say sometimes doesn't matter what, but it's what you do. Your action speaks. You see, at this time, Israel has gone deep into sin. And God is trying to call them back. God has ways. God has ways, and God knows his ways. He says he showed his ways to Moses. God doesn't just do things anyhow. That's why he calls for repentance. If my people that are called by, if I withhold this, God. So when there is a lapse in seeing the rain, the glory, and this and that and that, it is not your fault. It might be the sin of the land, the sin of the forefathers affect, it might be the sin of, but the whole thing is in the Bible. So God is saying, no matter what is happening, come to me, search my words, understand the season, understand what I'm doing, but do not lose your fear of me. What does it mean to lose the fear of God? It means to despise everything God says here and choose your ways because of your pain. And because of your ignorance. And just do things your way. And say things how you feel. When it's already written what God requires. So through generations, you will see this group of people all through generations. But then you see another group that will say, though he slay me, I will worship him. Job lost 10 children in one day. He lost his business. He had a fear of God. God, will I blame you? You brought me into this world naked. I will go naked. I don't know what's going on, but I surrender. The pain is there. The evil is there. The people, you see in the days of Habakkuk, the same thing. He could not understand what was happening to the righteous people. Say, what's going on? Until God told him to go pray, wait on him. And he revealed to him. So you see through the Bible, people like Abraham. God says, I will bless you. I will give you a seed. And you are going to be the father of nations. Abraham carried this promise for 25 years. And that promise mocked him. But Abraham did not give up. He might have been weak in his flesh, the Bible says. But it says Abraham was not weak in faith. Do you know the mockery he faced? Telling the whole world, God spoke to him. That was the reason why he left the land he left, Babylon. Because of that promise. And then he was mocked by that promise regardless of all the blessings. But Abraham wasn't weak in serving God. You can see all through the Bible, different people who served God with a double mind, a double heart, and people and kings who served God with all their hearts. In times of crisis, when it looks like God is not there, and God is not moving, you always have people who will complain, who will murmur, who will, all the things they will say against the world, against the church, against the children of Israel, against the servants of God, as if it's those people. But God says it's not. You're speaking that to me. But then God said, there are those who fear God. Regardless of what they are going through, regardless of their situation, regardless of their circumstance, they have come to know that God is just. God is faithful. I might not understand all this, but I know God will fulfill his promise. He's a covenant keeper. He will not forsake his covenant. No matter what they see, no matter what they are going through, they still continue to serve God. They still continue. They are not serving God because they feel good. They're not serving God because they have the money. They're not serving God because of anything. They are serving God because they have reverence for his character. They know he's a just God. And they are not serving him because he blesses or he doesn't. They serve him because they know he is God. So whatever, because that's not the details we're going to, whatever causes those things, God knows. But one area I want to bring to your attention is this. It's revealed in what God wrote in Malachi. He said, you see these people that fear me, and these people that don't fear me. He says, a book was written, a record was kept about them. Why are you keeping record? Because the God of heaven knew that whatever was causing the environment, the situation, will expire. And he has an appointed time and a season where that thing will be dealt with, and God will cause them to prosper. Their jubilee will come. Their breakthrough will come. The appointed season will come. And they will see. I shared with you last week about, the last time I was here, the mystery of God is hidden in his long suffering. That's why I used the pregnant woman as an example of how God works in promises. Certain things don't just happen when the seed is sown. Certain things just happen when a development is going place. You don't see what God sees. Why? That pregnancy, we know that of pregnancy, has to wait. But we don't know why certain things wait. We just complain and murmur. Then I use the example of the farmer. The farmer, we know the farmer plants a seed and wait. And meanwhile, takes care of all these crops and thorns that are coming to choke it. Doing all this labor. But the farmer waits. God uses these illustrations, these two, all through the Bible to say, trust me. If I give you my word, I will fulfill it. If I give you a dream, I will bring it to pass. If I give you a promise, I will perform it. But there are things you have to do so that when the time comes, you have not aborted that promise. If a farmer can trust a seed in the ground, a woman knows she can trust what is happening in the stomach and not cause that baby to come before time. God says, you can trust my word. Look at Joseph. That's why it wrote. Look at Abraham. Why was it written for us? Abraham, 25 years mocked if he heard from God. But God still brought Isaac through the womb of a dead woman. That was made life. So, when God, these times and these generations, these seasons come, God looks and is taking records. Book of remembrance. How do you serve God? How are you serving God? The way you're serving God now, when God starts moving and God starts doing great things, how are you going to serve God then? Where is your fear of God? See, the fear of God, why is the beginning of wisdom is, the fear of God, it does not question God. Because God is God. The fear of God surrenders to God. Regardless of. When I went through some things, when I learned surrender was with my father passing away, I had so much expectation. That would have been one thing that would have destroyed my ability to move forward. Because I just came to US and I'm just full of dreams. And God called me. Right after he called me, I'm just getting ready, just on fire, ready. And all of a sudden, this man, I said, I want to show you, you didn't bring me into this world for nothing. I have a dream for you. And he passed away. Immediately, emotions, thoughts, and stuff about to rise. And for some reason, God says, surrender. Just surrender to me. If you put it in your mind, in your carnal mind, you will not understand. So I knelt down, I surrendered to God, and that's when I knew. And as never since that time till now, every difficult, every impossible situation, I don't understand. I surrender. And whenever I surrender under the fear of God, before my mind and my brain and my emotion starts accusing God or accusing people, the moment I surrender, I cannot explain to you what happens. It's like something just takes it away. And that peace that passes all understanding is replaced. And along the way, when I look back, understanding starts coming. There were prophecies that were written about how long they will stay in Israel, stay in Egypt. For 400 years. There were prophecies written. What does prophecy mean? God has already finished his work before time. It's like an architect. God already knows what he will do 2,000 years ago now. And wrote it here. God knew how long they would be in Egypt. God knew how long they would be in Babylon. God knew after Christ is crucified, he lives and goes to heaven. He said 2 days, about 2,000 years before Israel. He knew everything. He designed it. He finished it. But in between the times and the seasons, he gives man opportunity to serve him with a free will. To seek after him with a free will. To honor him with a free will. And to know him and his ways. So when Israel was going through this very difficult time, they did not know that God has already spoken what will happen to Babylon, to the people that are doing this to Israel. But God gave them time. And God must wait for that time to finish. And until that time is finished, God is looking to Israel to serve him faithfully, to believe him, and to read. If they read, they will know the ways of God and why the delay. And then in that situation, say, build your houses, settle down, enjoy your children, serve me. Do what you can to enjoy God when the sky is still brass. But instead, a group of people says, I don't want nothing to do with church. I don't want nothing to do with this. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't give. I don't do this. I don't. Everything. That's where it talks about time. They are giving. They are this. Everything they abolished it. It is. They use the word. It is fruitless to serve God. Vain. Now, nobody says it. But when you don't see people, their actions speak it. There is no more better place to be than in the family of believers. When David started serving God, he said, I would rather take the place of a doorkeeper in God's house than to be anywhere else when God's children gather together. That's how he understood the glory of God. For us to, most of us are literally tolerating God by coming to church. We're doing God favor. That's how the level of our action towards God. But he understands that, so he knows where we are. So why is the Lord bringing this word to us? Because he knows the situation. He knows the atmosphere. Because he has times and seasons set for us also. The book of remembrance is, if you go back to the Old Testament, is some of the things God has spoken through prophets or spoken through time that has not come to pass yet. They are appointed for times and seasons. For example, there's a man we read a few weeks ago. His name is called Cornelius. He was serving God. He was giving. He was fasting. He was serving God. He was a man of prayer. He was not even an Israel, but he was an inside of God by heart. Faithful. This man had needs. He had expectation, but he was faithful to God. But still that breakthrough did not come. All of a sudden, certain things have to happen first. God wanted to pour the Spirit on the Jews before he comes on the Gentiles. Amen? Nobody knew that. Nobody understood that. It was then, as this man, in his place of faithfulness, the hour of prayer. Go study through the Bible. You see Paul, Peter, all these people at the hour of prayer. God meets them in their place of faithfulness. As he was going to pray at that ninth hour, an angel shows up. He said, Cornelius, this thing that was written about you, now is the time. Because all the things you've been doing, God has been taking records. And it has piled up in heaven as a memorial. But these things have to happen first before it comes on the Gentiles. And Cornelius says, now you go and send for Peter and come. And Peter came and God just, the first recorded Gentile for God to pour his Spirit upon in the book of Acts. The book of Memorial is explaining to us that God has spoken things, God has written your destiny. God has a plan for you. God has a future for you. Before you were born, he already has that plan. But we are going like this and we don't know all that God has. But if you stay faithful serving God, God is taking records. And when the time comes, suddenly you find yourself going from this level to this level of breakthrough in the earth. Because your future is already being decided by God. Not the devil. But you are the only one. Your cooperation with God is what will release that. So, another area that is noted, the book of records in the physical realm that explains how this works in the spirit, is in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, there was such demonic activities by a man who was the anchor for satanic activities then in Persia. His name is called Haman. And he worked with all these soothsayers. They really infested that atmosphere with the powers of darkness. Just like every other empire. But at this time, the devil now felt their power was so much that it is time to take advantage of that office and wipe out all the Jews. So he made a decree. Let me use this influence. Let's kill all the Jews at this point, all the Christians. So when he made that rule, you know, whenever the devil goes that far, The Bible says, he that sits in the heaven laughs. Do you understand there is only one creator? I don't know if you know this. I think we use the word God at the time. That sometimes the people in the world, they also use the word God. And they make us in the church sometimes forget there is only one God. There can't be two. And there will never be two. So, it was so dark they wanted to wipe out all the Jews. But what happened? There was a prayer. A call to prayer like this. An invitation for unity. For those who really are concerned about the atmosphere. I don't know. People in Mount Zion that has this much information you have. And you watch all these things you watch. And here we are trying to explain to you what you see in the atmosphere. I thought this place would be full every day. People crying out to God. I think you think what is happening in Ukraine and what is happening in Russia will not come to America. I will get back to the king and the days of Esther very soon. But it just occurred to me. Somebody said something recently. I never saw it that way. I never heard it that way, and it stayed in my spirit. Amen? Amen. If your neighbor is sleeping, tell them, make sure you share dreams with us before you leave. Amen? I never heard it this way. I never saw it this way. King Hezekiah had a sickness. And the prophet went to him and said, you're going to die. This sickness, you're going to die. Amen? Amen? And what did Hezekiah need to do? A king, he poured sackcloth, he cried, he wept, he fasted for his life. He was desperate to leave. Amen? And God spoke to the prophet just a few minutes from leaving his house. Said, go back. This man, this king has humbled himself, cried and repented. And God says, I give you an extra 15 years to leave. And he was very happy. But the next minute, when people came from Babylon and he showed them his palace and his house, the word of the Lord came again. Because you've done this, I am going to destroy Israel. I will bring enemies to destroy this place and empty this place. Hezekiah says, as long as it's not going to happen in my time, it's okay. Let your will be done. So whenever something is not affecting you or it's not going to affect your generation, you don't care. So maybe because it's just Ukraine. Maybe because it's just you're not seeing what is coming yet. You don't understand the power of desperate prayer even after you've been called. It doesn't affect me, so why should I pray? I have money in the bank. I've not been drafted to go to war. There's no problem. There's no need to cry out to God. So, but the days of Esther, these people, they only had a few days, months left, and the decree would be executed. So, there was a desperation. The only person that shouldn't be desperate was Esther, because she was a queen, isn't it? But she was awakened to the reality. You, if you don't do something, you and your father's house will not escape. She got the revelation. This thing will come to me eventually. They called a 3 days fast. Immediately there was a breakthrough in the spirit. My brothers and sisters, there was a shift in the spirit, breakthrough in the spirit, which you are going to testify to after these 10 days. This 10 days of prayer is not an ordinary fasting prayer time. It's a call from heaven. You're just privileged to know it. There was a breakthrough, and as soon as that breakthrough came, there was a shift in the spirit. Favor came. Do you know what happened in Esther chapter 6? Things start happening. Favor starts coming. Favor starts coming. But in chapter 6, the king could not sleep one night. And he was wondering why he couldn't sleep. My brothers, when the time of God comes, people that that have been sitting on your blessing will be awakened. Things that are standing in your way will give way. The king could not sleep because the climate has changed and heaven is in charge now. But look at what happened before then. So now the king couldn't sleep. He said, why can't I sleep? He felt an unction. Open the book of records. And they opened the book of records and they found out why his eyes went to that particular place and he went to records and he found out this man Mordecai saved the life of the king. All these years, has anything been done for him? That's what happened to Cornelius. But this one, Cornelius is spiritual. The book of Malachi is spiritual. But that's what God is saying to us. God will never forsake to reward your labor of love. They open it. He sent immediately. Let us do something for these people. My brothers, I've come to tell you. This is the whole purpose of the message from the book of remembrance. Your hour of remembrance has come. Our hour of remembrance has come. Amen. When the atmosphere was dark, the king could not look at that book, evil were prevailing. But one of the ways you know that the atmosphere is cleared, your heaven has opened, favor has come, is that you are remembered for God. Doors will begin to open and God will begin to lift you up. That's what happened to Esther. And that's what happened to Mordecai. The book was open. I want to say to you today, this whole 10 days of fasting, God is opening the books of America. Amen. God is opening your book. Amen. And the reason we are fasting, like the days of Esther, is to release the opening, to partner, to align ourselves with the season of the books of records. This season, the things you've been waiting for, that you've waited, you thought is impossible. You know, I have seen some things lately, and I've experienced some things from after the 55 days. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. When God begins to move, my only fear and concern for me is for me not to take it for granted. Because when God starts moving, those things that look impossible, the way God does it, it happens and it looks like nothing. And before a few days before, it was like so impossible. But when God does it, it looks like wow. And every miracle I've seen appears like, how did God do it? My brothers and sisters, you are about to start seeing uncommon miracles. Amen. One of my greatest prayers when the Lord called was, I wanted this generation, whatever it takes for them to experience God. And they will be able to serve a God that they know is the God that answers by fire. I refuse, and I made a covenant with God, No matter what it takes, help me not to be carried away by the deception of glamorous and dancing and running everywhere trying to do ministry. I knew power can only come from heaven. The pain of waiting to see people, miracles, that. How, of course, you can pray, you can seek God, you can do things, God can move, God is moving. But somehow, God has put in my spirit is more than that. God doesn't need help from us. He just needs us to surrender to death so he can do things without us making it happen. And that's the journey we've been. So this season, after, from these 10 days and after, this is what the Lord said to me. You don't have to sell what you see anymore. You just have to say it after it happens. There's no need saying this will happen, this will happen. You will see things. And this is what he said, like Peter, you say, this is that which was written by the prophet. This is that which was written. We are about to enter the season where we will begin. We will read it from this page and say, you see that thing that just happened?
This is that.
You see that thing that just happened? This is that. The book of America is about to be opened. So get ready. Your book is about to be open because you are in America. So if your words have been harsh towards God, you have an opportunity to repent before these 10 days is over. If you have not had a good fear of God, you have opportunity to repent before these 10 days is over. So that you find favor in the sight of the Lord. Some of you don't know what has been written about you. You don't know how great you are. You don't know what God planned for you. But like Joseph, like these different people, you look back and sometimes all you see about your testimony is problems. The Lord spoke to me recently and gave me a revelation. I never knew, but it became evident for me. The changes that has taken place in my spirit, in my heart, they would not have taken place if I didn't have problems. It was the trials that changed my heart as I channeled them towards God. It transformed, it killed things in me that I would necessarily would not have died to. That's why the trying of our faith is what produces the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't go through trials, you don't know who you are yet. So my brothers and sisters, the word I share with you once was basically to take us back to see that there's nothing new under the sun in different generations. Do not envy people that don't come to church or true church. Do not envy people that think they are rich out there. Do not envy anybody. The person you need to really envy is Jesus. Pursue Christ and pursue to be like him no matter what. So in closing, as we pray, one, I've said, if you, we need more of fear of God, we need to repent. Because you see how people respond to God. The purpose of this message is to tell you that these 10 days will change every one of us after this. It's to tell you that God is about to pay attention to your needs. Not about, he will pay attention to your needs. Amen. The purpose of this word is to remind you and to assure you that a shift is global, a shift in the spirit is going to take place after these 10 days. And how you will know it is that you personally will start experiencing breakthrough. See all those people we talked about, they waited until God's time. This is God's time for you. True Christianity, we've said it many times, but after the 55 days and what I've seen, I know the season has changed. This 25 days, this 10 days is going to open and going to start something that is not limited to this house. You will see that things have shifted. You will see it. You will know it. I promise you, God says, don't tell them. I see. Even during this fast, God showed me things. He said, don't say anything. Let them see it and then you say it. Let them be seeing it and you say it. And God is really happening. God is promoting this house. God is really promoting Mount Zion. God is really promoting Mount Zion. Hallelujah. So if you really have expectation for this season, you will not be disappointed after these 10 days. Amen. Every one of you that thought your situation was impossible, I want you to have expectation that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. The God that makes you think things are impossible is not the God of the Bible. Amen? It doesn't matter what your situation, what your expectation, what it is. As long as it's God's plan for you, every one of you, you are about to see miracles. Amen. And you're going to be so happy. And you're going to be so excited. You're going to be saying, now I really know the difference. Because God says, I will make a difference between this and this. He made a difference in Egypt. He said in Malachi, I will make a difference. So I prophesy and I declare to you today that God is going to distinguish your life. Amen. You know, I believe it. I'm seeing it. I told Kizia, Kizia says, don't share anymore. I was sharing some things. There were some things we experienced recently and some things that came out of that. He said, don't go and be sharing that anymore. Not everybody likes it. I see signs and I understand this season and I'm tasting where God is going. And that's why I'm saying to you, your expectation will not be disappointed. Thank you, Father. How many of you have impossible expectations? You can stand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, the God of miracle is my Father. My brothers and sisters, I want to let you know, you're going to be happy serving God. You have served God in tears. You're going to serve God in joy. You served God with sickness and pain. You served God with lack. You're going to serve God with good health. Amen. You're going to serve God with abundance. Amen. You are going to serve God with joy.
Amen.
People will say, God has done great things for you.
Amen.
Father, thank you. You will never bring a pregnant woman to birth and they never see the child. You never bring a man when the fruit is ripe and he never tastes the harvest. Father, your children in this house have sown in tears. Thank you for bringing us to the season that they will begin to see their harvest with joy. Father, thank you for giving us the privilege to live in the time and hour where nobody will doubt if there is God. Father, thank you that you are about to prove to the whole world and to those who fear you that you are still the God who answers by fire. Father, thank you that every eyes that have seen limitation, every eyes that have seen impossible, Father, they will know that with you there is nothing impossible. Thank you that everywhere we have questioned on our hearts, where is God? Father, you're about to say, here I am. You said, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored in the earth. I will be exalted in the earth. That is your promise. Father, let your name be honored. Let your name be exalted. Let every eye and everybody and the nations know you are the living God. Thank you for the book of remembrance has come. Thank you that you remember us for good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, you see everyone that are looking at impossible situations now. I thank you that everyone that is looking at impossibilities in this season, in this breakthrough, in this hour, Father, you are taking records that you will cause them to come back again and say that which was impossible has become possible. Thank you for the days of uncommon testimonies are before us. Thank you for the days of serving you with joy is upon us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you that everyone in this place will come back and say, people are saying, your God has done great things for you. I want to go serve that God. I want to go with you to worship that God. I want to know that God that you serve. Thank you, Father. You are faithful. You are worthy. Father, thank you that you will show this house I have not said one word today in vain. And your name shall be feared.
Amen.
Your name shall be glorified.
Amen.
We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory.
Yes.
Give us the grace to finish these 10 days and buttress and break forth. You are worthy, O Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have your communions, yes.
Jesus. Father, we receive your word this morning. Lord, let it not tickle our ears, oh God. Lord, let it not tickle our ears, oh God. Lord, let it not fall on rocky ground. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, you're calling this house. You're calling Mount Zion, each and every one, oh, God, to repent individually. To repent individually, oh, God. Oh, God, let us examine our hearts. After this word this morning, oh God, let us not go back to our ways, oh God. Oh Father, we truly don't know how to repent, oh God. Father, we say this morning, oh God, we truly don't know about deep repentance and godly sorrow. Oh, Father, impact us individually, God. Impact us individually, God. Oh, God, let us not take this word lightly, God. It's not another sermon. It's not another sermon, oh, God. You're giving us a chance to partner with you, God, in this end time that you're calling us. Don't take this time lightly. Do not be left out from preparing the bride and preparing the remnant. Do not be left out. Do not be spectators. God, search our hearts, oh God. Search our hearts, oh God, where we have murmur and complain. Oh, Father. Oh, God, where we have been complacent, oh God. Where we have not taken this time, oh God, as fear of God. Oh, Father. Oh, God, do not let us leave today, Father, without being changed, without being transformed, oh God. Have mercy, oh God. Have mercy on us, oh God. Have mercy on Mount Zion, oh God. Oh God, let us run to the cross. Let us run to the cross and not man, oh God. Let us run to the cross for ourselves, oh mighty God. Let us fear you more than man, oh God. Let us fear you more than our home, oh God, our family. Let us fear you, God, more than our work, our finances, oh God, the money that we work and labor for, God, week after week, oh God. You're not a man that can lie, oh God, for you have come to set the captive free. You have come, oh God, to make us whole. To make us whole, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, let us be the ones like the Bereans, oh God, who hear your word and it pierce our hearts, oh God. Oh mighty God. Oh Father, purge me. Purge me, O God, from secret sins, O God. Wash me and cleanse me and sanctify me, O God. Do a work that only you can do in me, O God. Like David says, O God, cleanse me, O God. Cleanse me, O God. Oh, Father, a heart cry out. A heart cry out, O God. That this 10 days will not pass us by, O God. That this 10 days will not pass us by and we'll go back, O God, to live in the way we live, O God. Chastise us, O God. Chastise us, O God. Wash us and cleanse us, O God. Have your way.
Let's obey that instruction for our communion. Search me, O God. Renew this covenant. I have heard you, Lord. This blood is for better for us. I don't speak against you or refuse to do your will when things are not going my way. Father, you never change, and your character still remains the same. You are faithful. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. We see it in marriage. We see it. It's a covenant. Father, help our hearts to be single-minded. Help us to serve you with our heart, all of our heart. Thank you. Thank you. Teach us your fear, your reverence. And because of this blood, we receive your mercy. We receive your mercy for our life, my life. We receive your mercy for our family. Father, we receive your mercy for your church, and we receive your mercy for the nation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Continue to carry us through this time. And may your desires be satisfied this 10 days, O God. Surprise us. Surprise us. Surprise us. In Jesus' name. You can take it. Thank you. Amen.